This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 12, 2022, Trinity Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now.
The words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength, and our redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
These words to our Lord's apostles give us pause. These men who have heard our Lord Jesus Christ speak for close to 3 years. They have seen him perform miracles. They have listened to him say what has to happen, and they don't get it. How many times our Lord look at them and say, O ye of little faith, where is your belief? O you who are slow to speak and understand the things that the scriptures speak of me. There are many things that he says to them and has to say, but they cannot bear them now. He is letting us know something about our faith. This is not a history lesson of the apostles' frailties. It is just the matter of fact of when we speak of things of faith, that's exactly what they are. They are faith. There are things that God will present to us that we cannot understand. You cannot cognitively work them out. You cannot rationalize them. That's not faith. It takes not one bit of faith to think you're sitting in that pew right now. It's just objective fact. No faith whatsoever. Turn the lights off, blindfold you. You're still comfortable sitting in the seat because you know you're there. Faith is something different. Faith is something to be believed. And this is a test for us in this world, to believe, to have faith in things that you cannot understand. Today, Trinity Sunday, the easiest day of preaching in the world. You think, man, it must be difficult to preach on Trinity Sunday because you can't teach about it. You don't understand it. It's actually easy because if you come to grips with that, it's fine. You present the Trinity, just like God has presented the Trinity to us. And I don't have to try to explain it, because newsflash, I can't. Okay, I don't get it. Nobody gets it. That's why he's presented himself. Why would God present himself like that that nobody can understand? Because he's all God and whatnot. He's going to let you know that you're not going to get him. Creator, creature, infinite, finite, all that good stuff going on. He wants us to have a heads up. You're not going to get me. The minute any one of us can explain God, he's not God anymore. If a creature can explain him, this is why. What is it, one or three? Yes. It defies logic. From the world standpoint, it's stupid. It's ridiculous. Not in faith. Not ridiculous for faith at all. He wants you to believe what he says. It's a mystery of faith. We hear about that all the time. We can't understand it in our heads, but we believe it in our hearts if we cooperate with the grace of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord said, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And then immediately, but, I'm going to send the Spirit of truth to you, and he will open your eyes to all truth. When does that happen? Pentecost. Not now. Not like, hey, I'm trying to tell you these things. You don't get them in here. Let me snap my fingers and you get it. No. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. He's the one that illumines us. He's the one that enlightens us to God's truth. He's the one that makes us believe things that we cannot rationalize. Trinity, Eucharist. Looks like bread and wine. Still looks like bread and wine. I heard you say the words. It still looks like bread and wine. Still feels like it. Tastes like it. But it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. The same body, blood, soul, and divinity that hung on the cross just under the forms of bread and wine. Just like as he hung on the cross, the form of God was under the flesh of human beings. It's not a hard sell. These are the mysteries of our faith. How can God become man? How can a man be 100% God and 100% man at the same time? You talk about that one for more than 5-10 minutes, you're talking yourself into heresy because you can't get it. This is the reality. This is faith. This is what we live. Nobody else does. No one else does but us, Christians. I love the fact, and this is the Holy Spirit working, because as time has gone on, particularly the past 60 years or so, there have been a lot of adjustments to the prayers of the liturgy to kind of lighten things up. We don't hear about hell. We don't hear about judgment. We don't hear. It's kind of interesting how the Holy Spirit kind of, he will not let some things go. Like, for it doesn't matter if you the traditional Latin Mass, our Mass, or the Roman Missal that everybody else hears generally in different parishes. The prayer for the day is that God has revealed to us, Christians, the true faith. You know, I'd say it's kind of, you can tell it's the Holy Spirit because, well, is there really a true faith anymore? I mean, because these other Abrahamic religions, they pray to the same God that we do. No, they don't. No, they don't. You pray to a Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They do not. They deny him outright. They go out of their way to deny him. That's the reality. There is a true faith. Our prayers say it. Holy Spirit guiding and directing the church. And some things, like I said, he just will not let them go. You can say all you want about everybody being okay, but the true faith is a Trinitarian faith. Because with no Trinity, there is no salvation. There is no salvation. Because the second person of that Trinity, the only begotten Son of God, eternal God himself, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No other prophet, no other figuring things out yourself, none of that. Trinitarian faith, that's the true faith. And you get people who say, well, you know, they just don't have the fullness of the truth. If you don't have the fullness of the truth, it's not the truth. I spent a lot of time in court back in the day. And every time you go to court, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? They cover all these bases. They want the truth. You kind of fudge on a little part of the truth. Guess what? The judge ain't going to like it. Wound up in jail for perjury or contempt of court. Well, I just gave you enough truth to just get you. No, I didn't ask you for just enough truth. I asked you for the truth. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's the Trinitarian faith. Everything else falls short. And like I said, without a Trinitarian faith, there is no salvation. This is what the Holy Spirit opens our eyes. So we can't figure it out. We can't explain it. The world looks at you and goes, oh, you can't explain it, so it must not be real. And no, as a matter of fact, that ratchets it up a notch. This is the reality of our faith. It is the true faith. It's what your church teaches. It's what the prayer said today. You said amen before God, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. So you better believe it. That this is the Trinity. It is indeed a mystery of the faith. I like to use textbook definitions, not theological definitions. What is a mystery? Something that is difficult or impossible to understand. Hey, let's make it even simpler because this whole Trinity thing, it's not difficult to understand. It is impossible to understand. That's why he presented it that way, as I said. It's impossible to understand me, creature, because I created you. It is impossible for you, creature, to understand me because I'm infinite and you're finite. My ways are not your ways. My ways are so far above your ways as the heavens are above the earth. The east is from the west. He emphasizes this throughout Scripture that we don't get it. You're not going to get it. Just do what I say and everything will be well with you. That's a Trinitarian faith. You come to it in faith, not because you can figure it out. This is so essential to us. Like I said, without a Trinity, there is no salvation. Like our Lord said, as I said before, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Why is that? Because he is God and he made a sacrifice of his blood for us. He made atonement for our sins. The only sacrifice that could do that is a perfect sacrifice. And the only perfect person that there is in create is God. He can make things very good, but they are all created. He is the perfection. He is the one that has to overcome our sin. And if Jesus Christ was not God, the second part of the, you don't have salvation because it would be less than perfect. He's not a great prophet. He's not a teacher. He's not somebody who became God by adoption and all the other heresies that go on. He's the eternal Son of God. And you need him to get to heaven. You don't get to go to heaven just because you're a swell guy or you lead a good life that you hear so often. I'm a pretty good person. I don't ever go to Mass. I don't really believe in God, but I'm a good person. No, you're not. You don't believe in God. St. Augustine and St. Thomas, they cover that base. Nothing is good unless its ultimate end is not to glorify God. And you just being a good person here, giving money to poor, this, that, or the other thing, that's not good. Because the end doesn't have to do with your eternal salvation. That's a reality. Without Jesus Christ, no heaven. Without the Holy Spirit, our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, eternal God, says that without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get this. This is the truth. You don't understand it, but he'll open your eyes to the fact that it is. Just like when he says, this is my body, this is my blood. That's why we believe that we believe in the Trinity, because that's the way he's presented himself. Okay, you are the only ones that believe that. It sets you apart from everyone. Oh, we're all part of the monotheistic Abrahamic tradition that worships the Trinity. Everybody else denies it. All the monotheists. There are some people who call themselves Christians that deny it. Newsflash. If Jesus Christ isn't God, you're not a Christian, because that's what Christians believe. So your Mormons, your Jehovah's Witnesses, your Oneness Pentecostals who deny the Trinity, they're not Christian. They can talk to their blue in the face about Jesus. What is the Mormon? The Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. What Jesus? Not the Jesus of the Scriptures, not the Jesus that the Father sent to die for our sins, the eternal begotten Son of God. So you talk to your blue in the face and use proper words, but unless you, in faith, understand the concept, you're not. They all deny it. Everybody denies it but us. You are special. Don't be prideful about that. Be thankful. Be on your face before Almighty God. Give glory to the Trinity that he has opened your eyes to this fact, because nobody else believes it. You step back and that can sound kind of arrogant and belligerent. Nobody else believes in the Trinity. You guys are the only ones that believe that. Yeah, that's a good thing. I mean, we face stuff like that in this world. Everybody's doing this. If you got teenagers, everybody doesn't make it right. You go to Seattle, everybody's burning stuff down and looting places. It doesn't make it right. It's criminal. They don't arrest them for it. It doesn't make any difference. It's still criminal. I get a lot of in the office, and I'll be a little transparent. I'll point fingers at myself. You know, people come in and ask me things occasionally about, you know, can I do this? Before I answer, let me tell you, if you ask any other priest in this diocese, he's going to say you can. I'm telling you, you can't. That really sounds arrogant. They're all wrong. I'm right. But after I say that, I say this because this is what the Scriptures teach. This is what the tradition of the Catholic Church is. This is what the magisterium of the Church has always taught. That we're living in that day and age where priests, you know, I'm not going to say that they're giving you bad information self-consciously. They haven't really studied all the stuff to say that you can do certain things that you cannot do, that the Church has always prohibited. Oh, but now, you know, we understand, we've deepened our understanding of other faith. No, you can't deepen yourself into violating what the Church has always taught in the doctrine of faith. That's just a reality. So don't feel bad when everybody else is doing it. Most everybody else doesn't believe in a Trinity. You do. Be thankful. This is what your Church has always taught you. I mean, I can't emphasize it. This is one of those homilies where, you know, you don't get into the fire and brimstone-y stuff and all this kind of... this is like 101 stuff that we need to know, because we hear about the Trinity all the time. You know, we see it, and, you know, it's like almost... So it's like air, breathing. You take breathing for granted until you can't do it. The reality of the Trinity is for us, you know, that's just the way things are. It's not the way things are for everybody, but it's that important. It's essential to your faith. It's what your Church has always taught. It is the essential doctrine of the Christian faith. Every one of our creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, that you'll hear sung today, I think. We usually do that on Trinity Sunday. Most people don't know the Athanasian Creed. What is that? Yeah, that's a creed of Holy Church. And every one of those creeds is Trinitarian. It gets progressively more so as time goes on, as the Holy Spirit manifests himself in the church. When we are entering the church in our baptism, you're not baptized in the name of Jesus, are you? That's actually, that's not sufficient, St. Paul tells us in Acts. You need to be baptized, like our Lord Jesus Christ says, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You ever get that one? Well, Jesus, your grammar's a little off. You should say in the names of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. No, I'm God and all whatnot, and I will tell you, it is in the name singular of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, what is it, Jesus? One or three? Yes. Oh, you don't get that? Good. I added that part. Every one of our sacraments, every consecration, every blessing of anything, from your cars to images to crosses, your rosaries that you bring, every single one of those blessings and consecrations, Trinitarian. We should emphasize this Trinitarian thing more than we do. I mean, for instance, you know, a lot of times, hey, there's a short prayer. You might memorize it. It'd be good for your spirituality. And they are, you know, memorizing little prayers here and there, memorizing longer prayers and liturgical stuff and all this kind of stuff. But every now and then, when it gets down to brass tacks, you just use what try not to reinvent the wheel. We've got the most glorious Trinitarian prayer that there is. It's called the Gloria Patri. Gloria Patri et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why don't we use that prayer more often? It wouldn't that be a great grace prayer before meals? Because guess what? It wasn't just the Father who gave it. It wasn't just the Son or the Holy Spirit. They never work unilaterally. They always work completely together all the time. So every blessing you get is from all three. So, I mean, wouldn't it be good every now and then? Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we have this food. There's little things like that. I mean, really, think about it. Any good blessing you ever have. The Trinity gave it to you. Glory be to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I would actually submit to you when bad things happen in your life, when those crosses are put on you, when something bad, some trial comes up, glory be to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, help me out with this. Yeah, this whole Trinitarian motif, you know, we should use that prayer a whole lot more often because it's integral with our faith. During the Mass, there's some things we do three times. Holy, holy, holy. Why do we do that three times? Why? He's just God. He's one, right? Just say holy. Save some time. I mean, that's what we do now. We try to save time in Mass. Holy, holy, holy. Every time we say things three times, one for each person of the Trinity. This day, in the liturgical calendar. The liturgical calendar is Trinitarian completely. After Trinity Sunday, you get into, in the Ordinariate, it's Trinitytide. In the traditional Latin calendar, it's the days after Pentecost. In the more modern places, it's Ordinary Time. Whatever you call it. You know what that is? That's for preparation for when the next liturgical calendar starts at Advent. The liturgical calendar is basically, it revolves around, go figure, three things. Christmas, Easter, Pentecost. Christmas, the Father sends his Son to redeem us. Easter, the Son redeems us. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son and enlightens us. And then Trinity Sunday is the next Sunday. It links all of those three together. And then we just prepare for the next ride. There's a method to the madness. Our faith is completely across the board Trinitarian. The reason that is because it makes our faith more exalted. It's monotheistic religions. You know, one is a very simple concept. Most very little children understand one. I mean, kids that can hardly put a sentence together. How old are you? One? One's a very simple thing. God is one. Okay, that's pretty simple to understand. You start saying God is one and three, it ratchets it up. It's not simple anymore. There are some aspects of God's being that are very simple, but that simplicity is something that we're not going to be able to get because he is God. He will present himself as being simple, but also at the same time transcendent. We don't get it. The Roman Catechism says that the Christian faith believes and professes that God in his nature, substance and essence, is one. But soaring still higher, it so understands him to be one that it adores in unity and trinity, in trinity and unity. It exalts it. God is indeed one. Our Lord Jesus Christ says he's one. Then the same Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is not a either-or proposition. It's both and. This is the reality of our faith. This is the true faith. Whatever word you want to pick up is the opposite of true, you can apply it to the other faith. Whether you want to be nice and say less true, or if you just want to be bold and say false. You have the true faith. Every prayer, the prayer wasn't, hey, we're so excellent, you gave us the true faith. It was, thank you. Thank you. To hear that in other prayers throughout this Mass. Thank you for opening our eyes to this truth, because this is one you just can't figure out on your own. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.